Hey everybody, it's Leon with Bigfoot Okanagan. A lot of you know or have been waiting for us to get back online because you know that we went up to the Slocan Sasquatch event. Sorry, I am on like no sleep right now. We had a fantastic time up there. The witnesses were spectacular. They were better than spectacular. They're just great people. Turns out that one of them happens to be in the same field of interest that I'm in academically. So hopefully getting together with them down the road. But they're a great group of people to definitely connect up with. We appreciate you guys as well for letting us know, inviting us to stay because of that snow blizzard that came in. And on that other side of that is Drake, thank you for your fantastic driving across that mountain pass, man. 4 inches of snow on the road and you saved us a few times from sliding off the mountain. So, and that was a heck of a drive for your nervous system, at least mine. And I wasn't even driving, so kudos to you, my friend. Nick, for you to be able to go where no man has gone before, love you in the bush. Love that you can get to places quickly. Love the way you look at things in the bush. We analyzed a lot of the data. There's a lot of great video stuff that we're going to show you. We're going to show you actually also a technique to find out if you come across tracks, how in their tracks are covered in snow, but you can still see the indent, how to figure out what animal's making those tracks. So I'll show you about that. Now, the reason why I'm doing up this video is there's two stories here. The first one is the one I'm just talking about, of course, which is about what happens when a interview comes into place. That's not an orb behind me. I just got in, so I'm just getting home. In case you see this here. So that's the one story we're going to do. So we're going to do up a video on that. The other story is about, I've always warned people about the priming of the brain via narrative that you hear and setting you up into believing something. You know, a lot of times it's like a clickbait technique people use online. Now, the reason why I want to talk about this is there's some consequences for some people that are online right now that put out a narrative, flipped the narrative, kept flipping the narrative. I'm not too sure what was going on behind the scene in their brain, but I'd sure like to almost interview them. You will know who I'm talking about, and I'm sure they'll get a watch of this video. So if you want to get online with me, I would love to interview you. So those Slocan reports came in by no other than Matthew John Moneymaker. Boy, my brain cells are about three right now. He was the one who did the original post. And the original post claimed that these were the best Sasquatch tracks of 2020. There's the first priming of the brain. All of us read that post and we went online and then it started getting more changing. I need to address this because if that priming is happening with BFRO, which has a sense all of us go to for resources, it really puts a lot of suspicion onto what we can trust and what we can't trust posted in BFRO. I'm saying this to help the community. I'm not saying this to attack anybody. But it's something I can't do not say anything about because it doesn't help out what we're doing. We're pretty professional and serious. We're quite serious about what we're doing. And you'll see that in the video coming up. Okay, you guys. Anyways, we all made it back safe. Thank you, witnesses. for again your stellar time, we'll unfold it for you so you can understand how we came across it, how we did the techniques to do what they bet the area out. We'll show you at the beginning part where we know nothing, we're just on site trying to formulate ideas and concepts and gridding out the area and all that kind of stuff, and then more data starts coming in, more data comes in, and then we'll explain to you exactly what's happened, and then we'll also we'll show you what exactly we found, and then we'll probably explain to you more than likely what's happened. Okay, take care of you guys. We really care for you a lot and we appreciate your support. Be real out there, be honest out there, and for goodness sake, vet the data. So I hope to have that video out, one of the videos out within a week. Hopefully I get them both out within a week, but it just depends how my week unfolds. Okay, see you guys. Thank you. Hey everybody, it's Leon with Bigfoot Okanagan. This is video 2 for the Spokane Report. This particular video is going to be on exactly how we found out about the report, who we contacted to get more information. And I want to just point out that we are not affiliated whatsoever with BFRO. And we reached out to them because, specifically Matt Moneymaker, because he was the one who was doing the claim that these were the best Sasquatch trackways in 2020. And the curious part for us that was frustrating also for us is that all these declarations that he had made in point form, if you went through them, majority of what he declared is invalid at all. One of them would be they live in a cabin. They don't live in a cabin. They live in a house, and they happen to have a cabin on their property. One of the things posted too was the driver was the witness. The driver was not the witness whatsoever. And so what we're trying to show you in this video, or at least what I'm trying to show you in this video, is if we're trying to collect data seriously from an organization, what does that all look like? And this is about our experience, and I hope you learn from this particular one. We went on site to investigate this whole thing, finding out about it via the BFRO's main page, web page. And this particular video is that process, okay? So systematically, what do you do when a report comes in or you find a report? You try to contact the people who did the actual original reporting and original people who vetted the information. And so that's what we did. So on this video, it's about 24 minutes, 25 minutes, is that process of who we contacted, the emails. We'll show you the original posts. And it's kind of important to unravel that so you understand why this has turned out to be a very frustrating experience for us. But we learn from it, and that's what it's all about, really, is about education. I've spent about 10 attended interviews last week on the news, TV, because of this escalation that happened in regards to Slocan and Sasquatch and all this kind of stuff. Unfortunately, having to say to people that this has nothing to do with Sasquatch at all. And this is part of the problem, which I'll explain a little bit in the video here. At the end of this video, you'll see a few video clips of us on site. That'll be stuff kind of teasing you a little bit to show you what we did on site and how to vet out an area correctly instead of making declarations claiming things. And when you go onto a site, what to do and what not to do right off the bat. Because you'll be pretty excited about if something comes in like this particular report that we were quite ecstatic about being the best Sasquatch tracks of 2020. Unhoaxable. They're not hoaxed at all, of course, because a moose doesn't hoax things. So I want to point out, too, it's not the BFRO researchers who've been trying to go out there to prove this. We're not talking about anything about them. We're talking about the president of BFRO and what his claims were, which put everything else under suspicion or under question. So we don't know if we can trust it. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed a little bit of videos we're going to show you afterwards. Look forward to getting you on site and showing you how to unravel all that kind of stuff. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Hi everybody, it's Leon with Bigfoot Okanagan. This is video two in regards to the Class A report that came into the BFRO over Christmas time. And you guys can check that out on BFRO's page. This video is going to be about how we found out about it and then how that all kind of unfolded before us, because I think this is important information. One of the things, if you've been following me, you know that I'm not just online to look for a Sasquatch. I came actually online to do a kind of a secondary investigation as well, and that is what happens to somebody who comes into the Bigfoot community. That's the first part of it. And the second part is to study the Bigfoot community as a system, because my area of education is in studying systems. So I wanted to find out what we're missing, because after 50 years we should definitely have on we should have them on camera again. But there's something wrong with the system. And the good thing about this particular report, it's pretty much put an end to 5 years of me having to research the Bigfoot system, because this whole thing here that I'm going to show you in regards to this whole sighting is the systemic problem of why we're not being able to move forward at all in regards to this whole topic. This will be a little politically hot charged a bit, from our perspective, we want to stick to the facts, don't deviate from the facts, as Thomas Steinberg would say. And so we want to make sure systematically you see how this unfolded for us, because you could also tell our frustration that's going to end up showing up down the road in these videos of trying to track down right resources for us that are trustworthy resources to find out whether or not we can get information or data or other things that would help us move forward. So the report came in, the actual sighting was in Silverton, BC, or just outside of Silverton, BC, and it was by four witnesses, and two of the witnesses had seen something, and all four witnesses were in a vehicle moving along a highway. And about 100 kilometers an hour, it's around 9:30 at night, and they came across on their way home to the witnesses, or at least one of them arose. She looked out the window and saw something standing there, and then she said, "Hey, what's that?" That kind of a scenario. And then Martin from Germany, a young guy, he looked over, and all he seen was something big moving down kind of on its fours. So the reason why we found that this is a good educational opportunity for all of us online, some of us won't care, of course, that you're online about any of this stuff, but you guys know who I'm talking about, you guys out there, is a good way of analyzing this particular report, how it unfolded, how we got in contact with it, looking for people for resources and to find out more information about all this kind of stuff. And then, but show you the inside out of that whole process. It's going to be a little messy here in a bit. So, like I said, the report came in on the 26th, and that was sent in by Erica, who's a PhD, and she's a PhD in the same area that I am academically interested in. And not only that, is she deals with cults, which is what I deal with as well. So I hope to have a lot more good conversations down the line with her and maybe get her on here in her academic area so that her and I can hash out some neat ideas. So, and perspectives of how the brain works. And then, so what she did was she reported it on the 26th and sent it to the BFRO. At that point, I think somebody reached out to us on December 31st, so we didn't know about this report, and showed us the report on BFRO. So when that happened, of course, we went and checked it out online, and here's a copy of what the report has said. And you guys can read it yourself, or you can just go online and check it out yourself. Now, the thing that's been frustrating for us is a lot of the data keeps shifting. In other words, all the posts that keep coming up keep seem to shift what they said originally compared, or are not saying clearly what they were saying clearly at the very beginning.
And so also we went on to the BFRO Facebook page and checked out those posts as well. Now we've screenshotted absolutely all of this transition of these changes that have happened online, just again to show people we're trying to help here. We're not attacking anybody. This is a systemic problem in the Bigfoot community, and this is what it is. So I'm going to give you, I don't know, probably give you $20,000 worth of free information here. If you want to take it, if you don't, we're not moving ahead one iota in the future. So what did, after we looked at those both those BFRO sites, especially the one that was on the Facebook, the original Facebook posting, I believe it came out, give me a sec here, I'll just do a quick check. I think it was posted the day after on Facebook. It was posted the day after the report, and Matt John Moneymaker was the one who had posted on the Facebook page. And it had four pictures of tracks in the snow, and the caption read, so this is what came in. This is what Matt actually posted. I do have it on screenshot. These are our recent photos meaning one day after the report came in, photos of authentic unhoaxable Sasquatch tracks in the snow, 8-foot stride, leading away from where a multi-witness sighting happened moments earlier. The encounter occurred Christmas Eve, 4 miles south of Silverton, British Columbia, along Highway 6. There was four people in the car who are actually staying in a cabin not far away, but only two saw the huge man-like feature near the road as they drove past it. So when we talk about priming, by listening to a narrative, this is what all of us read online. Now, this is important to us for Bigfoot Okanagan because we're been checking on a possible migration route from the East Mountain Range, just north of here, just north of Slocan, to west to the north part of Okanagan Lake. And the trackways go through that way, and then they head down towards Penticton. And what we're hoping is that this, because it's come in, is actually what we're needing, because we'll be able to follow the track. So we're quite excited when this came in. And then another style of verbiage came in here too. So I think the thing that got us so excited too was Matt had posted, they are the best Sasquatch track photos of 2020. That's a credible claim. And the reason why that's an incredible claim is we're figuring out, well, who investigated this kind of thing. So what we did, or what I did, was I contacted Matt on by email. And I want to kind of show you that little bit of a dialogue right now, because this has big implications to things. We use BFRO's data sites with an understanding that they vet the information to make sure it's quite solid in regards to what the claim is, whether it's a Class A, B, or C sighting. For you who don't know, Class A is actually visually seeing a Sasquatch. So again, this is pretty exciting. It's right by our area. We're trained in tracking, so if we find the prints, especially because they were supposed to be in about 12 inches of snow or knee-deep snow, we should be able to follow them for miles. After looking at the pictures, showed them to everybody on our team, and we all had a suspicion that we knew exactly what was going on there. And this will be elaborated on down the road when we get on site. So I want to read to you guys now the dialogue that I had with Matt via my emails. So just give me a second here so I can set this up. Okay, so what I ended up doing, of course, like I said, I mentioned I went and sent email to Matt. And this is the email I sent him. I won't read all the email stuff because it's going to take too much time. But Hi, Matt. Leon here from Bigfoot Okanagan. We just noticed a report that came in, number 664413, near Slocan Lake a few days ago. This is on December 31st, by the way. That is in our area, and would like any other information, like a contact number, so we can investigate and grid out that area. We are highly qualified team of trackers and professional bush people, and use the scientific method. If you can help us, that would be greatly appreciated. So that's what I sent to him. And then he responded back, Leon, do you have a web page or Facebook page? And then I responded back, I have a YouTube channel and Facebook page, same name. Unfortunately, I wrote Okanagan Bigfoot instead of Bigfoot Okanagan because my brain works backwards, and that was one of the times, unfortunately, because I was excited about hearing about this report. And then I also wrote down this here, which was, this was also posted this morning in the Slocan River, and this is on New Year's Day. So the thing is, the witnesses seen it on December 25th. Erica wrote a report to BFRO on the 26th. Matt posted that these are the most solid tracks, blah, 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 blah. Now, no one's been on site from BFRO. No one has even been there who is bush trained or anything like that. And so the horse starts to gallop because of a narrative that Matt has written. Plus, he's shown these pictures. Plus, he's declared that these are the best trackway or track strides in 2020 pictures. And he's quite adamant about it. Now, the weird thing was this, as between the times we've been emailing, I had somebody sent me this, and what it happened to be was just 60 kilometers down the road, which is only a 30-minute drive on the highway to where this sighting was. On New Year's Day, somebody was doing a polar dip in the Slocan River, and it's all on video, and it happened to be somebody dressed as a Sasquatch, who happens to be from Frog Peak Cafe. And so I sent him a link to this, and then his response back to that, because I think, you know, if you're investigating and you've got something on BFRO, you might want to know, yeah, you know, this is kind of curious. Yeah, there's a Sasquatch sighting on the 25th of Christmas, and then you have a person showing up in a Sasquatch costume, just 30 minutes down the road by car, and doing a polar bear dunk in the on New Year's Day in the river. So, you know, I would want to know that information, just in case there's a correlation between the two. So I thought it was a helpful thing to share to him. Okay, so then the next thing I did is, after sending him that report, I sent him this, or that video. I sent him this. Hi, Matt. This is totally looking like a hoax. Actually, this is why I sent him that video. This is totally looking like a hoax. Looks like it was done by the Frog Creek Cafe, which is just up the highway from where the sighting was. They even have a carved Sasquatch in front of the cafe. You can see it on their webpage. Unfortunately, I think the witnesses were fooled by a prank, more likely a misidentification is where I was coming from. So how that unraveled again was, he got back to me, and then I got a video sent to me of somebody doing a polar bear dip in a Sasquatch outfit 30 kilometers down the road, or 60 kilometers down the road, which is only 30 minutes drive. And that was 7 days exactly from one holiday, Christmas Day, to New Year's Day. And those are kind of interesting because it's both on the holidays when the sighting was, and also when the Sasquatch polar bear dip went on. So as an investigator, somebody who's doing research to vet out a report, you think you might want to know that, just in case there's a correlation between those two events. And so then I did a bit more research, and then I sent Matt that email I just said to you, which is that it totally looks like it might be a hoax. Looks like it was done by the Frog Creek Cafe. So after the email notifying him of what I found in regards to checking out the video and where the video came from, this is where he comes back with this kind of patronizing style of email. Leon, comma, dot, dot, dot. So, dot, dot, dot. Because there's a cabin a cafe with a statue of a Bigfoot 60 kilometers away from the location of the incident, the sighting must be a hoax. Is that your logic? Question mark, question mark. Now, this is the one that agitates me right here. Is that your logic? Question mark, question mark. And then he goes on and says, and therefore, all the sightings around Willow Creek, California, with more than one Bigfoot statue, must all be hoaxes too, right? Question mark. By the way, it's called the Frog Peak Cafe, not the Fog Creek Cafe. Matt, see that certainty? Now remember, this guy has not even been on site. And this guy here is the one claiming with his logic that these are the best Sasquatch stride marks of 2020. With an 8-foot stride, is what he's saying. And he said step in one of his other Facebook reports. A stride is actually 2 steps. Not 1 step. So I'm going to come back to this when we're on site, because this is what agitates me the most about this whole thing. If we are trusting BFRO to be accurate about vetting data, so we travel 3 hours and 40 minutes in blizzard conditions because they're a trusting source for us, and then we get on site and we're trying to figure out all these claims that are posted on BFRO, and none of them are vetted. As a matter of fact, we'll show you why in the video coming up, next video, of exactly what we do and how we know it's not vetted. We talked to the witnesses who were just fantastic people, and I certainly hope to get together with them again down the road. But the problem with this, all it gave us was this capping on my 5 years of research of what's systemically wrong with the Bigfoot community. The problem with the Bigfoot community is it doesn't vet any of its information. So all of us who are actually serious researchers are having to plow through thousands of different channels, maybe, that are just doing narrative, priming the brain, and none of it's factual. No wonder we're not getting ahead anymore. I mean, this is just ridiculous, this whole thing. So the key mark thing, too, is, because I mentioned before, is we've been keeping every post that has been shifting and changing. The shifting and changing on the Facebook page has been just amazing to watch. Matter of fact, there's a whole slew of comments that were, awesome, went to the Sasquatch Portal Vortex. And those were pictures of somebody who had also posted the original posts of his, asking him, you know, what about the discrepancy from what the report is compared to what you're writing now? The response back was, well, I did mention I'm upgrading the data as it comes in. Well, if you're upgrading the data from when it comes in, how come you don't have that written on any of your other posts? I went down through your feed. I think you say it 4 times. At least you did say it 4 times before you shifted the post again. The feed of this is for updating. I don't think it's updating at all, Matt. I think you didn't even investigate this. I think what you did is you came up with an apophenia concept in your brain, connected those dots, gave a nice priming narrative that was kind of a clickbait for us at home who are really serious about what we're trying to do here by declaring that these are the best Sasquatch trackways of 2020 that have come in. You didn't even look at it. But I'll tell you, this is pretty disappointing because it puts absolutely everything in question that we've got on our marker boards here in regards to reports that came in from BFRO. You're the president of BFRO, and this is your vetting? Anyways, that's all I'll say about that. So, try to be fair back to him. I wrote, no, that is not what I'm saying, Matt. I am saying that if it's pretty suspicious that the Frog Pea Cafe, thanks for the correction, name correction, even wrote that in there, posted a video of a guy in a Sasquatch costume doing a polar bear dip on New Year's Day. That's just 7 days after the event. Put the link in again so he could take a look at it in case he missed it. Because the cafe is only a 35-minute drive down the road, plus the store carries Bigfoot items, including a carved Sasquatch in front of the business, and the video they posted shows someone in a costume in the area a week after the sighting, I felt that it was important information for you to be aware of. I am not saying that the witnesses didn't see something, but it may be a misidentification, which most of these are. The reason I reached out to you was, this is the part here that I don't think he gets about what we do. The reason I reached out to you was in the hope to get 2 data points from the sighting, which way the Sasquatch came from and where they were heading. If the trackway is a foot, is in a foot of snow, we should be able to track both directions for quite a few miles. That's including if there's snow covered. This idea also corresponds with the First Nations band's belief of Sasquatch migration. We need to see the tracks to see if they match other footprints so we are certain that they are from one of the same individuals, or are we dealing with a new individual? Anyways, we're going to be heading out to the location shortly, so we should know fairly quickly if they are costume footprints or the real deal. Now, this is where he finds out that we're now going on site. And this is when we notice a lot of shifting going on in regards to the narrative that are being posted on the Facebook page. This information would be helpful for us is to fill in a possible migration pattern. And what I was trying to do is get him to come back and have some kind of a different response. I just want to see a Sasquatch again. That's going to have finished off a little bit. And I don't need a lot of people. I just need the right people. I thought maybe he was maybe one of the right people. No, he's probably not going to care about this or anything like that. Well, I'm not going to care about it other than that there's no way we can trust anything BFRO is posting, because if the president of the organization that is supposed to be putting out this narrative that we collect data on Bigfoot, well, how do you collect data? Do you collect it similar to Sasquatch Chronicles? Sasquatch Chronicles doesn't claim that they vet the information. They collect people's stories and reports. But they're not saying any of them are true. They just let the person share the report. BFRO, as far as I've known since you've been out there, you are modeling yourself as if you are collecting data and vetting the data, so everything that you post is actually somewhat solid. I think all I've seen so far through this whole thing is you're backtracking because you caught yourself with clickbait. You didn't really do your due diligence. You took the story down. Well, Wes could have taken the story down and just listened to their experience and stuff like that. But that's not vetting the data for the people who are at home. Now, there's a problem with this, and one of the other problems is it starts getting out in the community, local community, in the news reports, because it's on the BFRO, and it excites everybody. And then we have to go out and point it out that, no, this is not what you're seeing here, which makes you look bad, and it makes us look bad. So at least do some bloody the diligence here before you say, is this your logic, Leon? Is this your logic, Matt? It's a disgrace, in my opinion. Absolute disgrace. Anyway, so this is the end kind of for this video. Hopefully I got it down pat to something reasonable. And then that will take you on site. We'll show you everything that we did. We'll show you how we know it's not a Sasquatch. And it really sucks that it isn't. The witnesses, again, great people. And we explained to them more likely what it is that they saw, and we'll show you kind of the same idea. Okay, thanks everybody. I look forward to the next video. Take care of yourself.
Nine p.m. Christmas Eve. Four people were in a car traveling from Slocan up towards the Silverton area. They spot a big brown creature just off to the side of the road, standing on two legs. Let's go check it out.
Okay, we're on site. A little bit of snow out here too, and right there is where the supposed sighting was. And we have a nice pullover here. So what we're gonna do is check this roadside first on both sides of where the clearing is, and to see if there's any tracks going into the tree line. Then Nick's gonna go around the perimeter of the tree line, then we'll go to where the original tracks are. And then we'll work our way out along this road back here, in here, and do a circle loop around, and then move into the area. So we'll let you know what we find once we're up there. And we're pretty sure we know what we're gonna be looking at when we get there too, so awesome.
Yeah, these footprints are from who?
These footprints here would be from the people who were in the vehicle that came back the next day to film out what was going on.
I thought you guys might have been doing some research. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So the woman saw it on standing, and then it went down, and the guy behind sitting in the van saw him touch down.
So it wasn't just a bear going down.
They thought it could have been a bear, but we didn't see it. But we came back to look at the tracks, and we recorded a bunch of the tracks too.
Awesome.
I would say there was one track here, and then there was one that was going this way. Because I think he was coming from this way, and he was going that way, and then went into the bush. Did you see anything in there?
Nothing over there right now. I see a lot of rub marks on trees. That's about it.
Hey, Nick, can you just keep walking that way? And could you, if you don't mind, Leo, let him know where to stop, where you've seen the tracks from where we're standing here?
Yeah, I think it's around this area. This what area over here.
Okay. So what you're doing, Drake, is you're going to keep doing this so it's a straight line all the way here, as far down as you can.
Oh, going like this.
Yeah. And the reason why you're doing that is so that we can get a profile moving towards this track. You'll notice a difference in the pressure as you get closer to where the bottom of the track is. So just keep kind of swishing that away.
Like keep going closer?
Yeah, you can do a shallow part now. Like just skim it like this.
Okay.
Then you can feel the difference in the snow, the light snow compared to the hard snow.
Yeah.
As you get deeper down to the track.
Oh, it gets softer again.
Yeah. And then what it'll have when you hit the bottom of the track, it'll be tough again.
Okay, my name's Leo, and I was driving. So I was the driver, and it was Christmas Day. We were coming back from the hot springs. And I was slowing down because we were getting closer to our driveway. And right before I was starting to slow down, the passenger, who was Rose, screamed, I think we were singing or something. We were talking.
Yeah, and she said, what's
that? And she thought she saw a bear standing on its hind legs.
My name's Erica. I was in the back seat. And yeah, same. Rose cried out, what is that? Look at that thing or something, or it's a bear. And then Marlon said, he was right beside me, he said, it's a bear, did you see that? Or did you see that animal? I can't remember. They both just declared there was some animal besides the bear.
Yeah, they both said it was a bear.
Yeah, they both sort of concluded it was a bear. So we looked, and some looked like they had, you know, little foot marks in it, and then one looked like a bunny, and then one looked like a deer, and then there was this other one, or two, I guess, directions. That I took a video of and some pictures that looked like a biped animal walking sort of up into the woods, and then there was one spot where it stops and it looks like 2 feet standing beside each other. So Marlon and I kind of went and investigated more, and then I just felt all the hairs on my neck stand up as it sort of looked like it walked off into the woods, and I said, why am I following something that looks this big? Let's get the out of here. And then we went back.
Yeah. I was sitting in the on the back seat on the right side, and I was looking out to the window to the left side, and I saw like a huge brown. My first reaction was like, that must be like a huge grizzly bear standing on his 4 feet. It was like, it was really big. I think I never, if it was a grizzly bear, I never saw a grizzly bear at this size. I don't know, it just looked like one huge body.
Mass. So anyways, it's great running into Leo. He's one of the guys that were in the vehicle. I think he said he was driving. The two witnesses we're going to go talk to right now. And the trackway we saw that was filmed, regards to Matt Moneymaker, those are moose tracks. How do we know that? As we excavated down, when the moose track, when you excavate snow like that, it's like archaeological stuff. It's been there for a while, it hardens up. You can see how the hoofs opened up. And when they opened up, they met those middle part there that's iced up, and the sides of where the hooves are iced up as well. 100% moose. I think Bob, who used to live where we're going right now, he's been living here for a while, he actually saw the tracks on video and said, those are moose tracks. He's been doing Sasquatch research for quite a few years in the whole area. Not only that, Leo has a whole bunch of other stuff he wants to show us. None of these people are skeptics about Sasquatch. We all want to find it, including them. So we're going to find out more information coming up here. what you're doing, Drake, is you're going to keep doing this so it's a straight line all the way here, as far down as you can.
Oh, keep going like this.
Yeah. And the reason why you're doing that is so that we can get a profile moving towards this track. You'll notice a difference in the pressure as you get closer to where the bottom of the track is. So just keep kind of swishing away.
Like keep going closer?
Yeah, you can do a shallow part now. Like just skim it like this.
Okay.
Then you can feel the difference in the snow, the light snow compared to the hard snow.
Yeah.
As you get deeper down to the track.
Oh, it gets softer again.
Yeah. Yeah, then what it'll have when you hit the bottom of the track, it'll be tough again.
Okay, so I scraped down, like Leon said, and I gently went to remove the soft snow and stopped when I hit something more hard. So as I look down there, it looks to me like it is a hoof. Of course, it's not a perfect thing, but it's definitely not a flat-footed print because the center has the space between the hoof, leaving a hump down the middle. So that's the first one I did. And then I thought, well, I'll do another one. This one, you know, isn't the perfect replica of a hoof because it's kind of lopsided, but it definitely has a hard center and does not have a flat bottom.
When you saw that track there, you just did a side clear.
Yeah.
Was it hard?
Yes.
Show me what was hard.
I only took out the soft stuff. This was hard, this is hard, and this is hard. Makes a U-shape.
Did you hear that, you guys? Makes a U-shape.
And then this one.
See, you see the center part there? That's more like a moose track. Go ahead.
This one here is similar. It's not as clean cut because it's got a hard spot in the center.
Yep.
But it definitely is similar shape to that.
Great, so that's a hoof mark as well.